Yes, it's time to join Kiru now for the Asia Pacific Report. He joins us on the line. Good morning and welcome to the program, Kiru.
Good morning, brother. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, China will not allow security on the Korean Peninsula to deteriorate, China's president told a security meeting with Asian foreign ministers a few hours ago. Can you elaborate, Kiru?
Yes, indeed. What China's looking to do is to ensure that stability on the Korean Peninsula is maintained. And now we've seen tensions between North and South Korea emerge more in the last few weeks. The nuclear tests, the United Nations Security Council sanctions against North Korea. And now essentially what President Xi Jinping said just a few hours ago is that as a close neighbor of the two Koreas, China will not allow war or chaos to break out on the Korean Peninsula. So I think it's going to use both its diplomatic and economic muscle in there to ensure there's political stability on that peninsula.
Now, Papua New Guinea has taken a stance on Australian detention centres. Is this likely to have a major impact on Australian immigration policy, Kiru?
Well, it will certainly have an impact on Australian immigration policy. The extent to which that might happen, one can't be certain. Now, just some background to this is that the Australian government has taken a very stern stance against immigration, quite unlike Europe, where we've seen hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, migrate northward from conflict in both the Middle East and other parts of the world. Australia has literally closed off its borders. In fact, in the last elections or previously, Prime Minister Abbott used the campaign slogan, "Stop the Boats." Now, essentially what they've done in the past few years is to use surrounding countries as bases where people coming in on boats into Australia could be intercepted and placed there. Among those is Papua New Guinea, a very poor country, so it gets taken into these kinds of financial arrangements with the Australians to house people. Presently, there's about 900 asylum seekers in Papua New Guinea, and this decision to prevent or close the detention centers arises from a Supreme Court decision in that country which said that the center is unconstitutional. And this is a significant blow now to Australia's hardline immigration policies.
Now, Kiru, a radical Burmese monk is stoking up tensions with Christians and Muslim communities. What do we know about this?
Well, dreadful news out of Burma in that regard. What's happened is that an influential Buddhist monk who goes by the name of Miaing Chinggu has started to build pagodas, which are Buddhist worship sites, in the compound of a church and near a mosque. And what he's done now in regard to the church, he planted a Buddhist flag on the church grounds in the eastern state of Karen, which is the main area where Christians are in Burma. And his supporters also moved on to build a pagoda near a mosque in a Muslim majority village in the same township of Klangbuer. And what this has done is really it's inflamed tensions there, even though Muslims and Christians comprise only 4% of the Burmese population. But we've seen tensions there. In 2012, there was the outbreak of violence in the western Rakhine state between Buddhists and Muslim Rohingyas that left scores dead. So this latest provocation is certainly something to keep an eye on, because it has the potential to create intercommunal tensions. In spite of the fact that one has in Burma now a new government with Aung San Suu Kyi at the helm.
Worrying indeed, Kero. Now, Singapore and Japan are getting closer. Anything of significance in that relationship?
Well, it's an emerging significance. They've been quite close allies. But the issue that's in the news is that Singapore's Foreign Affairs Minister, Dr. Vivian Balakrishnan, just yesterday wrapped up what he described as a good four-day visit to Tokyo. And that occasion was also to mark Singapore and Japan having enjoyed 50 years of diplomatic ties. So what Dr. Balakrishnan did during this visit was to meet his Japanese counterpart Fumio Kishida, as well as Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. And among the things that they've discussed were the challenges that they face mutually, looking at ways of transforming their economies. You know, it's an important fact that Japan is the third largest economy in the world, and Singapore, being a very dominant player within that Asia-Pacific region, is one of the busiest ports in the world, and they have a real interest in ensuring that shipping lines and logistics proceed without any interruption. I think it's also important to point out that Dr. Balakrishnan said to his Japanese hosts that Singapore will not get involved in the territorial disputes that are taking place in the South China Sea because it enjoys good relations with both China and Japan, and it doesn't want to get embroiled in that. But the countries have also looked to review a bilateral free trade agreement, and they're expecting to complete this by the end of the year and at the earliest. So clearly this is a very small power in Singapore looking to up its game in extending this relationship with Japan.
Kiro Naidu with the Asia-Pacific report there. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Kiro, before we let you go, our interactive question, Kiro, is do we need to arrange family reunions to see everyone nowadays? Is everyone in their own worlds, or is there just no barakat or in time?
Well, I have strong views on that interactive question. I think it's, you know, whenever one is building a society, the basic building blocks is the family, and organizing people to get together on significant days like Freedom Day and others is a great opportunity to bring people together. And I think that's something to be encouraged and to have a very definite interest in ensuring that we all get together.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Kiro. You have yourself a wonderful day, sir.
Very good indeed. Thank you for having had me.
All right then. Bye-bye.